Welcome to the prolific teaching ministry of Pastor Emmanuel Iren, lead pastor of Celebration Church International. It is his vision to partner with you for your progress and joy in the faith. Ready, set, grow.
Father, we thank you, we honor you. The entrance of your word gives light and understanding. And we thank you that in the next few minutes, such light and illumination is coming to us in Jesus' mighty name. Say loud amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Please be seated. So this is like a Pauline journey where Paul will say, as I am going to Macedonia, I will pass Corinth. If you get what I'm saying, have you read texts like that? So I just decided to branch here briefly. And so what I have to share is but a charge, but I believe it's going to bless you.
Hallelujah.
All right. So I'm going to be teaching on roles in marriage. And first and foremost, I will do what is called the justification of the study. I'm not going to assume that everybody understands the importance of marriage and why it is desirable. And so I want to start from there. All right. And I want to start by showing you something I am sure many of you never noticed. I want to show you how Adam discovered he needed a partner. How Adam discovered he needed a partner. Turn with me, Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. From verse 18. From verse 18. It says, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone." For some of you, this is your word right now. Tell the person by the side, it's not good that man should be alone. Why is everybody facing an ear? I don't know. Hallelujah. "I will make a help comparable to him." Listen. Now, what God did next is very interesting. And so for some of us, every time we read it, we didn't really understand. What was God doing? What did God say he will do, first and foremost? He will make a help comparable. But what did God do? The Bible says, out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field. What? And every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam. What's going on? You said you will make a help comparable, but instead, you made animals and you're bringing them to Adam to see what he will call them. What's God doing? But the result of this display, this runway show of animals, did something you never noticed. The Bible says, so Adam gave names to all the cattle and all the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam, there was not found a helper comparable. So there was something indirect about what God did that made Adam realize he was single for the first time. Because as he was naming animals, lion, lioness, tiger, tigress, leopard, leopardess, he realized, wait a minute. Where's my own? You see what God did there? He brought them all in twos. The same way they entered Noah. You see, even the story of Noah is not easy for single people. Because they entered in twos. You understand? Anyway, just say, today, now today. Wear helmet. Oh. So for the first time, he realized, oh, there's something happening here. Rooster, hen, ha. So for the first time you realize, I don't have a companion. Then God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. And out of Adam, he made a woman. And so what God showed Adam, are you ready for this? Just open your heart, okay? What God showed Adam is that singleness is foreign to nature. Male and female created he them. That's what he showed him. He just caused the animal to pass in front of him, and he got the message immediately that, where's my own? He never saw the need to seek for bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, until that happened. Now, I must immediately prefix all that I'm going to say after this with this statement. As important as marriage is, it is not at any cost. It is not at all costs. Please, are you listening to me? Some people, out of desperation, have made mistakes. And that's why when I was preaching on this, I think for the first time 3 years ago, I said, even in Adam's realization, he did not name an animal what it should not be named. That in choosing a spouse, there must be differentiation. And listen, this is the powerful thing. Adam named all the animals, and he did not find a help comparable, and he was okay. He was ready rather to stay single than marry an animal. That's a lesson right there. He named all, but in his desperation, he did not call cat spouse. He did not call a dog spouse. He did not call a goat husband, a wife. I beg your pardon, a wife. Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, amen. In his desperation, that he was ready to stay single if after searching he did not find anybody. What if the church came to this level of maturity where you stop looking at single people narrowly? You don't know their story. You don't know what they are going through. You don't know the options they've had to forego. That in fact, maybe the only reason you are seeing them in church is because they said no to some people. There are some people that make ungodly conditions the prerequisite for dating them. I have a relative. He had been single for a while. He found this lady, ex-model, very beautiful. See, eh? You know, when a child looks at an adult and says, she's fine, you know that? As a child, I looked at, I said, this is a fine woman. But she said, one condition, you cannot be a pastor. All these emoji, you will drop it if you're going to marry me. Even I, as a child, when I heard it, I say, uncle, what are you going to do now? The man said, well, thank you very much. I really love you. I care about you. I wish this would work, but no, I'm not going to jettison my destiny. Come on, are you listening to me? For some of them, they will say, you will stop going to church. Some of them will tell you, well, this is your vision, oh my God. I'm going to preach hot in Utako. Listen, so this is like the introduction to what I'm going to preach there. So you want to listen to that also. Because you see, unintentionally, there is this ungodly thing men do. Men in particular. They look at a lady, bright, beautiful, glowing. And that's what attracts them to them. And then when they get the woman, they marry her and then they cage her. Take away all her beauty. And they have a religious name for it. They call it submission. You see, have you seen women that started looking sick after they got married? The smile, the glow is gone. And that's, for some people, that's our definition of control. I'm the head of this home. You have a prisoner at home. She's not happy. She's sad. Everybody is pitying her. Since you came into her life, everybody has been pitying her. We have a lot to talk about that. So it takes a lot of discipline to see that and say, no, I would rather be single than enter this kind of relationship. Are you getting what I'm saying? However, you must never get to the point where you say, well, do I really need marriage? Have you seen people talk like that? Listen, let me tell you something. Adam did not know that it was not good that man should be alone. He felt it was okay. I have everything I need. I've got a job. I have food. I'm good. He didn't realize it. God saw something about him that he didn't see in himself. It was God that said, it is not good, it is not good, it is not good. Maybe you are here, you don't realize it. You are a guy, 33, 34, 35, 36. You have a job, you are doing okay. You are handsome. Yet, you are single. I came here to tell you a word from heaven. It is not good. Oh my God, help me preach it to someone by your side. In case the person will know someone like that, just tell the person, it is not good. Therefore, I'm here to tell you, man, you need a woman in your life. Women, you need a man in your life. And don't let anyone tell you otherwise. You see, let me tell you something. I've been saying I'm going to have another men's conference and it is necessary. You see, one strategy of the devil when he wants to attack a generation is to go for the men. Very simple. And so in Egypt, every male child, 2 years and under, haven't you noticed it was always the males? 2 years and under. Same thing in Egypt. Same thing Herod did in the time of Jesus. Male children, 2 years and under. What if I told you the same thing is happening? This time around, it is not murder. They are not being killed. They are being feminized. Oh, you're not ready for that conversation. Men that cannot stand up to defend their women. Time to defend your wife. Come, what's that? You dey paint nails. You dey wear ankle chain. I love you. Do you still love me? Of course. I mean, no, I'm not apologizing. Let's go on. So, let me read to you some statistics. Number one, do you know that women struggle to follow a God that their husband does not know? Statistically proven. Statistically proven. You know, we have a lot of books on marrying the right person. You know, but when I read, for instance, about the history of how Pastor Adeboye found his wife, he was not born again when they got married. They were still patronizing her ballets. So how did he know she was the right person? In that context, he didn't know. And at some point, he found Jesus, got born again, and his wife immediately just simply said, if you have found Jesus, I will follow him too. Listen, the Bible tells us that as Paul and Silas prayed, the prisoners heard them. The place and where they were shook, right? And the prison doors opened of his own accord. Guess what? When the jailer saw it, he was about to kill himself. But Paul and Silas said, hey, we're still here. Don't do that to yourself. And then the jailer said, what can a man do to be saved? After he heard the gospel, after Paul preached to him, the Bible says he and his household were saved. I am telling you, more often than not, statistically proven, if a man finds Jesus, has a raw encounter with the Lord, his family will follow suit. Unfortunately, and what I'm saying, some of you have personal witnesses. You grew up in houses like that. If it is the woman that is hot, it's difficult. It's difficult. It's difficult. When the leader of the home is not taking spiritual things seriously, it's difficult. You're trying to tell him the importance of prayer, the importance of leading a home in the way of the Lord. It's difficult. If a father does not go to church, even if his wife does, only one in 50 children will become churchgoers when they grow up. Statistically proven. I'm reading statistics to you. Let me tell you something. We must do something in the church. We must stop being comfortable having more women than men in church gatherings. We must do something. It's slowly creeping in, slowly increasing. Because let me tell you something. It's almost as if we are not as effective as we should be, because I am telling you statistically, when the men catch fire, it changes everything. Only one in 50 children will become churchgoers if the husband does not go to church. Let me tell you something. Some people in the other religions, they know this. That's why they will tell you, I don't mind marrying a Christian. Because they know, number one, no matter how strong, you will not know. How would you see Christians who say, I will marry a Muslim, don't worry, I will still keep my faith. After a while, you just say, Assalamu alaikum. You just say, Sister Joy, what happened? The theology don't change. It's the same God we are serving. It depends on the way you see it. If you are climbing from different sides of the mountain, you'll be seeing God from different angles. They don't catch you. What about the children? What about the children? And people who usually do that because the man is rich. Let's call a spade a spade. And now children grow up. They are seeing a very wealthy, powerful father. Strong, with gravity. Cars in the house. Doing well in business. Then he's serving, you know. And you think that they will have enough discernment to follow your own God? Are we talking or not? Can we be honest with each other? Can I talk? It looks like energy here. Come on. If the father goes regularly to church, regardless whether the mother does or not, 2 out of 3 children will become churchgoers when they grow up. Statistics. If the father goes to church, whether the mother goes or not, 2 out of 3 children. I mean, compare the statistics. 1 out of 50, 2 out of 3. Studies have shown that children that come from single mother households are 5 times more likely to commit suicide, 9 times more likely to drop out of schools, 10 times more likely to abuse chemical substance, 14 times more likely to commit rape, 20 times more likely to end up in prison, 32 times more likely to run away from home. Statistics. And it's not because these mothers are not sincere. It just tells you, let me tell you something, and that's where I'm going. God created genders to be codependent. Codependent. Make no mistake, if there's no woman in the house, there'll be problem too. Women are nurturers. You see, when you see, I'm saying this respectfully, when you see someone who has not had a mother figure, they need emotional repair. They're not usually all right. They might be high performance. High performers in the society, but vulnerability, love, they will struggle with that. But guess what? They may also be very indisciplined. Oh, guys, when there's a man in the house, it's different. No matter how serious the woman wants to be. No matter how serious. You see, let me tell you the truth. Guys, tell me the truth if you also know what I'm saying. There is an age you get to. You just know. This woman cannot beat me. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. There's an age of realization. They know and you know. It changes the dynamics in that house. It changes, and people who only train their children with threats, they lose respect instantly. Because there's nothing you can do anymore.
You know, there's a conversation I overheard my sister and my mom having. They don't know till date that I heard it. I was passing and I heard. And my sister was complaining. I was not saved then, so don't judge me. She said, can you imagine what he did? And my mom said, couldn't you talk to him? And she said, you want him to beat me? I was in SS1 then. Hallelujah. I'm not proud of it. We had serious sibling rivalry. We used to fight. Because my sister was a bully. She's in Christ now, so I can see it. My sister was any small thing like this, she would just pounce on me then. Then one day, things had changed. We had not fought in a while. I went to school, came back. And she wanted to do as before. Let's just say that was the last time. Any small argument then, you just... So this time, unfortunately, just 3 minutes into the fight, she started going, I said, God. Asthma attack straight. So I now became worried. The same me carried money, started running to chemists, you know, to buy drugs, buy inhaler, this. You know, I came non-stop from that day. I don't know why, but from that day, we never fought again. Hallelujah. You need a man in the house. I'm telling you, especially raising boys. You need, it's different though. It's, even the voice, hey, stop there. They know, the children know. Hallelujah. Or let me put it this way, because people's stories are different. You need a father figure. If for some reason life happened, you don't have a husband, find a father figure. I'm privileged to be a father figure to a few people. The moment they say, I will tell pastor, I'm talking about children. And it is not, I've never beat them, but out of admiration and respect, and by the role I'm privileged to pay in their life, do you understand? It costs money to be father figure. Let me tell you that. I just spent close to $1 million throwing a party for one boy that is not my son yesterday. Do you understand? But it's a privilege. Come on, are you with me? When they say, I will tell pastor, there must be that person. They will adjust instantly. They will adjust instantly. And children silently crave someone like that. They may not like it when you get them to stop doing what they want to do, but they actually crave it. You know, something happened. There's one family. The father is so irresponsible, so the woman had to leave and all of that. I was privileged to begin to take care of them, pray for them and everything. Children watch. This boy, 3 years old, in school, they asked him, who is your father? He said, Emmanuel Irin. That's what he said. It's a kind of story that will make you both sad and touched. Do you understand what I'm saying? But this is the person whose life I want to pattern my life outside. Someone that saw his father beat the mother, he saw it at that age. He asked him for school. He said, Emmanuel Irin, that's my daddy. I need to have a meeting with men. I've been saying it. But please, if this is all we have, please take it. You have such an important role in society. Such an important role. And talking about codependence, are you aware that it has been proven also that you are more likely to live longer if you have a partner? Okay, let me ask you something you have noticed. Have you noticed in many instances you can think of a family, they are living especially happy homes. The father dies, not too long, the wife dies. Why? Why? The wife dies. Not too long, the father dies. God created human beings to be codependent. Codependent. As you see me like this, 2 weeks without PL, I'm miserable. Because you won't understand, you know, oh my God, marriage is sweet, oh. Marriage is sweet. You know, something funny happened. The next day, first day as a married man, the next day after our wedding, she just woke up, you know, said, where's the socks you wore yesterday? I want to wash it. I said, ah, wow. I said, I can really do this marriage thing. I like. I have not cooked in years, and I'm not ashamed of it. If I cook for you, that might be the last thing you eat. So you just, as you chop like Jesus straight. Heaven. I beg, I'm good at many things. I can't kill myself. Hallelujah. So quickly, let me touch on this. There are two reasons why, well, more than two reasons, but I want to touch on two or three very quickly. Why some people get to a point where they say they don't need partners. They don't need partners. Number one is trauma. They've served you breakfast, afternoon, night, served you breakfast everywhere. That's changed your conviction. Do I really need a man? It's hurt, though. That's a defense mechanism for hurt. And honestly speaking, sometimes it's understandable. You see, the things that some people have done to others in the name of love. You know, counseling is hard, though. You know, as a pastor, especially when the person is struggling to open up, you say, talk to me, talk to me. When they talk, have you felt like punching someone in the face before? Said, I'm not proud of it. There's this lady we've been dating. She has had 10 abortions for me. I said, how many? The 10. So is she your wife now? No, I don't think I can marry her. Eh? You get some people where I want to leave pastor. Now fight. Now fight, go settle down. You will marry her. Let me tell you something. Ladies, I want to beg you, have boundaries. Have boundaries. You see, hey, can we talk? The same guys you are allowing just anything they ask, you do. When a woman that has boundaries will come, he will change. He will change. Because guys like to test limits. They know how far they can go. When they can have their way, take advantage of you and you don't mind, they will continue. But when a woman has boundaries, you now be angry. And he will dump you and move on. 10 abortions! And he didn't marry her. He did not. Eventually left the church. I don't know why. Maybe my face when I see him. How are you? I think from that day I began to greet him with annoyance, maybe. Because I just. But there is a grace in the Lord. Come on, are you with me? There is a grace, a spiritual optimism. There is a hope. There is hope for a tree. Even if it is cut down at the sprout, scent of water, it will sprout up. Come on, are you with me? It's a Rehoboth anointing. The ability to dig new wells. Go again. Go again. Go again. Sometimes we are so hurt, we push away the right person. Now, the right person, God has sent the right person. You don't want to give him a chance. You don't want to give her a chance. So, the reason I'm saying this is, stop using singleness to avoid, to excuse your need for healing. So address it head on. It's not comfortable, but you must address it. You know, I was preaching last Sunday, and a lot of people told me they were triggered. Well, if the trigger will bring healing, it's okay. It's okay. I was preaching, some were crying. It's okay. As long as that room where you have hit the heart, you open it, you address it once and for all and move on. Come on, are you with me? And the next reason why people don't mind singleness, are you ready? Is sin. That's why. Because everything married people are doing, you are doing. Some people are having sex more than married people. You say, you want to tell me you don't know? More than married people. Very busy. Let me tell you this, and I think I'll just end here, unfortunately. Let me tell you this. Sometimes the reason I like statistics is because some people, you've bought the lie that the word of God is too rigid, is too strict. You know what I've discovered? You know, I gave this analogy of the law. When you are climbing a staircase, the railings, the rails of that staircase, they are not for restrictions, they are for protection. Come on, are you with me? They're not for restrictions. So, yeah, it restricts you, but for your own protection. And we have the tendency to see the laws of God, the principles of God, as restrictions instead of protection. And more often than not, when you do things in a way that is contrary to the word of God, you will learn lessons. What do you feel when scientists do psychological research and confirm the things that the Bible has been saying? All this research I was talking about, they were not done by Christians. It's just an objective research, and this is what they found. There's another research that talks about people who belong to good churches. Have you seen that research? They are more likely to pursue purpose. They are more likely to be happy. They are less likely to have depression. Psychologically proven. But sometimes we need to rely on these things to discover what the word of God has been saying. Let me tell you something. It's been proven, for instance, psychologically, if you cohabit with anybody, you are less likely to be happy in marriage. Scientifically proven. You are more likely, twice as likely, to divorce. Because, before marriage, the orange no get juice again. You don't suck everything finish. No excitement. No, and when you break the law of God with someone, you have given him the permission to break the law of God against you. Understand that. You have lost your legal right, your moral right to tell him, don't do this. When I was sinning with you, you enjoyed it. Why can't I sin against you? The person has shown you a pattern. Even though it was you on the receiving end, the person has shown you he is incontinent. He can't keep himself. He showed you. She can't keep herself. Are you aware that there are many relationships that would have ended, but because of sex, they continued? There's something sex does. You just look at the red flag and be like, is it that red? Some of you pretend as if you don't know what I'm saying. Things that should have been deal breakers. But you're warming his bed, warming her bed. Now you have lost every sense of objectiveness. 2 years in now, they are punching you. And you saw all the signs. And there is also an attack on marriage, what I call fashionable singleness. You know, there is a subtle impression in our society that monogamy is for unsuccessful people. Because the people who are our celebrities, when you have a type of money with multiple potential sex partners, now you don't want to commit to any of them. And if you're not careful, subconsciously, you look at them with admiration. You want that. And even if it is in the deep recesses of your mind, when you blow, because you, and you know, sometimes it's revenge. Because some ladies are so materialistic, just ask, you are just asking out, or they will abuse you. Come on, don't you know your level? So when that level now comes, you are not, he's like, let me go. You are not ready for conversation. We idolize money. So now I have money. And you know, it's wild out there. You'll be shocked at the level of audacity. You know, someone was someone was DMing me. I called my wife, come and see. Say, I DM'd you because I like you. Bro. See, every morning, just they cover your pastor with the blood of Jesus. You know, it's the pastors that are always to blame. And yes, they are to blame. Make no mistake about that. But she said, I said, I don't know if you know, I'm married. She said, I know. DM, I'm not talking. So my wife was sitting beside me. She said, I'll come to church if you want me to. Nice. So, when I started talking Jesus, preaching to her, gave her the number of one female protocol, do you understand? She didn't show up and that was the end. And the account disappeared. But the true life story. Is it that small story? If I tell you stories, the reason I'm saying it is, guys, you must be ready. So if you are seated here and you receive an alert of 10 billion, 10 billion, before you say amen, listen, train first, prepare yourself. I'm not joking, no. You must be ready. Some people lose their minds. That's the last time. Are you aware that some people who argue the existence of God is just pride? It's a false sense of self-sufficiency. Especially when religion has been anchored on needs. You keep going to church, that is only, you will be blessed. You will be, you know. So now, you have money, there's no need for God again. At least the Nigerian God. When you go to a church and you know that the prayer request of everybody there, you can answer it. That's now. There are Nigerians that can answer. If they enter here, they can answer, what's your request? There is an image of a Nigerian God that men can play. So when you get that type of money, and people are not hiding it. There's a secular artist who said when he just made money, he just started doubting the existence of God. He said it in an interview. Because that's what we've painted God to be and to represent. It's fashionable singleness. You have a lot of money, you just want to have like 3 or 6 baby mamas, between 3, 6, it was, I don't know the latest statistic. No commitment. And let me tell you something, there are women who don't mind it. women who don't mind it. That must change. Come on, amen, somebody.
Amen.
I said that must change. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
So, what must I do if I'm of a marriageable age and I want a partner? What must I do? Number one, you want to make sure that you are your specs spec. I know you've heard it before. It's still relevant and important. Make sure that you are your specs what? Because it's easy to have all kinds of expectations. You know, I asked a lady, in this Abuja, what kind of man do you want? Amongst many things, she said a medical doctor who is Indian but can speak Yoruba. True life story. My wife was there. I said, so, well, I wish you luck. Some of you, the type of men you want, God has to bend down again and take new sand and make. In no day. In no day. Meanwhile, you don't hold yourself accountable. What kind of person must I be to get that type of man? So you want to work on that? Am I my spec? What? Number two, work on your character blind spots. What are the blind spots? Are you approachable? Do you have a chip on your shoulder? As a man, are you empathetic towards women? Work on that. Number three, work on your presentation. You know, even Jesus asked, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? What kind of vibe are you giving? How do people see you? Don't argue. I'm not like that. Oh, well, that's the vibe you put off. You may want to ask for some feedback. Because you see, it is true that men look on the outward appearance and God looks at the heart. And we dwell on God looks at the heart as if it's God we want to marry. Make no mistake, men look on the outward appearance. Did you hear when I said last week, did you listen to the sermon? That women choose spouses like they are picking a job. Don't let them lie to you. They check everything, including how their name will sound against your surname. They check everything. This is not a job, not a CV. They check everything. Will you make it? That's why you are wondering. You will have a lot of vibe with a lady. She will say, it's not you, it's me. And then she will marry one guy like you are wondering that. This guy is 45. He said he's so young at heart. He's not in a lie, nah. You know that song by Don Wen? Nah money, nah money, nah money. He said he's young at heart. So we almost get heart failure. Old man, young at heart. Person we get asthma. He's young at heart. If I nod you. Make your decision and move on. Don't disturb. Don't lie to us. Hallelujah. And that's why when you focus on your purpose, you are more likely to wind up with the person you want to end up with. Are you listening to me? And then number four, learn to put yourself out there. Put yourself out there. Go out. Make friends. You know, I'm not saying be flirtatious. Come on, are you with me? Statistically, when you make it too easy, a man doesn't have to walk. He doesn't have to do anything. He will lose interest. He will lose interest. He will lose interest. Learn to, there must still be some mystery about you. And don't be mysterious. But I'm just saying, don't be all over the place. Show up, be a good friend, be there, And then keep yourself. Have something going on in your life. All right? And then finally, I beg you in the name of God, have boundaries. Have boundaries. It is very attractive, a lady with boundaries. Very attractive. Very attractive. And that's why one of the most important things that can happen to a lady is to grow up in a home where she's loved. Where the father is very expressive and tells her he loves her. Do you understand? It's one of the most important things. And like I said during the midweek service last week, if you did not have that, find platonic relationships that can do that for you. It's important. It's part of your healing process. You must find people who love you unconditionally. It's one of the best things God has done for me. There are people in my life I know genuinely love me. Genuinely. Genuinely. You know, some of them, I pastor them, you know, but at the same time, some of the things they do, I'm just like, some people do things for me that I can't do for myself. I'm being honest with you. Some of the things, maybe they buy for me. If I have money, I won't buy that. I'm not lying to you. As someone bought you something, when you heard the price, you say, huh, can I sell it? If I sell it now, to look somewhere. Hallelujah. But it's very good. And when you do that, you will have boundaries. You will have high standards. You have high standards. I've talked about, you know, my personality type and all of that, and my attachment style. I used to be avoidant. The Lord has worked on me. But you see, even on my wedding day, I saw there is a problem. Because even her uncles, my wife's uncles, came to her. You look beautiful. Back down the forehead. Uncle! Do you understand? Back down the forehead. All of them like that. And dad backs her like 4 times a day. I said, I'm not lose guard though. You've tried. It's my turn. I'm the man here. I'm the man in her life. Do you understand? But I now understood why she held me accountable. No, you've not pecked me today. You go learn amo. Do you understand what I'm saying? I am telling you subtly, in a gentle, respectful way, women who have boundaries, they know how to get their men to adjust. You will go out of your way, you will learn. Because they will tell you, no. In this house, no. Do you understand? As busy as I am, on one hand, I love my children. On the other hand, my wife will not have it. Go preach to the world. When our children have inter-house sports, you will be there. Tell them to wait. Do you understand? So she will tell me ahead of time. Like now, she has told me next week. Parents, Teacher's Day, a PTA meeting. I was there. Even the parents will be surprised. You know, I'm in my child's class. Someone is taking selfie. It happens. I don't mind. I'm there for my child. I love to be there. I have not missed any major event in their life. Hallelujah. But they made it easy that I have a wife who says, we have moved this ministration. Your children need you. And there are many times there are things I would have just excused, but she holds me accountable. I beg you in the name of Jesus. Women have boundaries. Are you listening to me? You know, as disciplined as I am, there was a particular day when we were dating. You know, they may not tell you. You have been celebrating for years. Closest to the wedding is the hardest, though. You'll be like, it's just here now. And I go, judge me, don't worry. You You know? My hand was moving. I felt breeze moving my hand. He said, it's a man of God. You know? Man, that was all I needed to hear. When she said, man of God, I remembered all my sermons. You see, I'm telling you, without boundaries, even pastors will break your heart. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. We are sure that you have been blessed. For inquiries, reach us on our helpline 0809 996 7000. Blessings.